Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Tech Stuff, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm your host, Jonathan Strickland. I'm an executive producer with How Stuff Works and iHeartRadio, and I love all things tech. And today, we're getting a real blast from the past as well as a blast from the fictional past. It is time for another classic episode of Tech Stuff. And in this episode, we're going to look at the speculative fiction subcategory known as steampunk. The aesthetic that is based on a history that never was. A history of brass and copper and steam that ended up never evolving beyond that technology, but influenced everything to come after it. And this has sort of gone through a little bit of a lull, I would say, over the last several years. For a while, it was very much in fashion, at least in the speculative fiction world, in science fiction conventions and that kind of thing. You don't see it quite as much anymore, but there's still people who really cling to this and really enjoy it. I happen to be one of them. Just bought a pair of sunglasses that kind of fall into that aesthetic. So let's listen back on this episode, which originally aired on August 15th, 2012. So we wanted to talk about steampunk, and one of our sister podcasts, Pop Stuff, has addressed steampunk, but we thought we would talk about steampunk as well because we're doing this whole series of episodes about technology that you reinvent in some way so it is different from what it originally was, correct?
Right.
And steampunk is sort of an aesthetic approach to that. It's not confined solely to technology. In fact, I would argue that it originally was a literary genre or subgenre. Mm-hmm. And so let's kind of talk about what it is before we get into any steampunk hacks that we have seen and enjoyed on the interwebs.
Yep. Okay.
So you're familiar with some of the forefathers of modern science fiction.
Wait, like, there are four?
There's many more than that.
Oh, well, you said four.
But right. Well, it's F-O-R-E. So Jules Verne.
Right.
Jules Verne, very famous author. H.G. Wells, another one.
Yes.
Jules Verne and H.G. Wells together produced a lot of work that kind of serves as an inspiration for the steampunk movement.
Yes. And if they had actually worked together, Around the World in 80 Days could have been accomplished with a time machine, and it wouldn't have taken nearly as long.
Around the World yesterday.
Yes. Sorry.
But the time machine, didn't it only travel in time but not in space? Wasn't that its thing? Anyway, so the
dun dun dun.
Yeah, so you'd have to have it on the balloon, I guess. Nothing bad could happen from that, right? So the aesthetic that Jules Verne and H.G. Wells kind of set is sort of what creates the foundation for steampunk. Steampunk in general takes a very Victorian era approach to technology.
Yes.
The idea is, what if during the Victorian era, tinkerers have been able to build some of the more complex electronics and machinery that we have at our disposal today, but with that Victorian aesthetic and the materials that they would have used during that era? So you get a lot of stuff with copper and brass and sometimes things like vacuum tubes and stuff like that, although that's vacuum tubes really are post-Victorian. But anyway,
yeah.
you get the lots of wood as well. A lot of these materials that you would find in Victorian furniture and things like that would be incorporated into this sort of technology of this fictional world, this world that could have been but wasn't.
So yeah, the Victorian era that we're talking about is the late 19th century.
Yeah, yeah. So around the 1880s, there's a lot of different literature that came out around that time, 1880s, 1890s, that really influences the steampunk aesthetic. So some of it is stuff that H.G. Wells and Jules Verne were writing. Some of it is stuff like Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the Sherlock Holmes stories.
Yes.
That definitely influences a lot of the steampunk aesthetic, too. It's not just technology. It's a lot of different things. But it's that feel, especially the feel that you would associate with something like London during this era. Although steampunk, I would say steampunk is kind of very much an English-influenced aesthetic or movement.
Or at least Western European.
Yeah. And the reason why I say English is because a lot of the steampunk stuff I see is based off Victorian fashion or colonial fashion. The stuff that was done during that late 19th century colonial era, like in India. So
right.
You'll see a lot of steampunk that takes design elements from that as well. But the idea of creating this sort of science fiction world based on the Victorian era of technology is a little more modern. I mean, their inspiration comes from writers that were writing around that era, but later writers really kind of brought that back up, like William Gibson and Bruce Sterling, who wrote The Difference Engine.
Right.
Which kind of brought this aesthetic into the idea of, well, what if we take this basic form of technology and then go a different evolutionary path than what we actually in reality took.
Mm-hmm.
And so this created this sort of idea of neo-Victorian technology. And you think about, you would have advances in certain areas, but not advances in others. And it's really arbitrary where those advances are. So for example, in a steampunk world, you might have the equivalent of personal computer devices, even handheld computer devices, although they'd probably be clunkier and made out of different materials than what our current ones are. But you might not have airplanes.
Right.
Because the blimps and dirigibles are incredibly popular with the steampunk crowd.
Yes.
It's this idea of this world of luxury, and everything's a lot more, takes up a lot more space than what we're typically used to. But I think the person who really kind of nails why the steampunk aesthetic is so compelling to certain people is Mark Frauenfelder.
Yeah.
Who was he's the editor-in-chief of Make Magazine.
Yes.
And was the co-founder of Boing Boing.
Yes.
And he says, The Victorian era was the great age of the amateur, where non-professionals could contribute to the advancement of science, and because these amateurs were most often well-heeled gentlemen, great emphasis was placed on ornamental beauty in their equipment. So the idea here is that the average person with the right education would be able to make advances in science and technology.
Right.
Whereas today, you're talking about really specialized, really advanced fields, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It feels like you have to be part of a much larger project often in order for you to make a big impact in those areas. It's not entirely true, but it's more true than not.
Mm-hmm.
So the Victorian era was a time where you could be on the cutting edge. You could be an average person with a good education and be on the cutting edge of science and technology at that time and thus be able to make your own impact on it. So that is one of the reasons why it's so compelling. Also with the emphasis on ornamentation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, it's funny that you would bring that up.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, one of the things that you'll find if you start looking for steampunk in a search engine on the computer, one of the first things you're going to find is clothing.
Yeah.
There are lots and lots existing clothing that, you know, I'm sure that people are really excited about because they really wanted to make lots of bowler hats but couldn't figure out why no one would buy them or top hats anymore. And yes, all of a sudden they're going, ooh,
steampunk has really
site.
Increased the demand for certain articles of clothing.
Yes.
Gloves and vests.
Yeah. Vests and pocket watches.
Oh, yeah.
Those
pocket watches are crazy. And some of these pieces of clothing don't necessarily have any added ornamentation to them. They may very well be essentially a Victorian costume.
Right.
But then you might have accoutrement, which makes that go beyond a period costume and turn it more into steampunk.
Yes. For example, goggles seem to be extremely popular. Well, they
a requirement with a steampunk costume.
Yes, and I'm not making fun of anybody who does steampunk and likes goggles. It just seems that they're ubiquitous, and it's not. You think about the early people who were driving or flying.
Yeah, they wouldn't have a windscreen necessarily.
Yeah, so you'd see they'd have their driving outfit where they had the gloves and the hat with the goggles to keep the dust out of your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Very necessary. But the funny thing, and I find this amusing, but not in a making fun way, just sort of that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Sort of way. Some of the people who do, who dress in the steampunk fashion, embrace the clothing, will, you know, use unadorned goggles, just sort of the same kind of thing. But I've seen others that have, really modified them with, brass fittings and, flares and things that, you know, really make them stand out, and they're very large. And it's kind of amusing to me because I'm going, wow, you're really going out of your way to draw attention to the goggles.
Well, and
they
might have attachments where they have different filters, like it
or
makes
lenses
it smoke
in
glass.
The front.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a magnifying lens that you can swivel in or out of the way.
That's cool.
Well, yeah, it's and again, there you have the idea of, well, the practicality would be if you are a tinkerer, then you would have this magnifying glass so that you could see the very small intricate parts.
Sure.
You're doing all this work with your hands, at least in theory.
Right.
You know, now a lot of the people who are into steampunk do not necessarily make their own gear.
No.
But the folks who do take a lot of pride in it. You know, because, again, these are works not just of technology or costume. They're works of art. You know, there's artistry that goes into this. Although there are those who will say that, you know, there are plenty of people out there who are into steampunk who what they'll do is they'll get a costume, they'll throw on a pair of goggles. They might wear a necklace that has a gear on it, and boom, it's steampunk. then there are others who will go into great detail on their costumes and incorporate these really intricate pieces of equipment and even come up with very whimsical names for the things. Because, you know, they're using that Victorian naming convention where it's almost like Lewis Carroll has named all of their items.
Right.
Where it's this odd. You know, nothing is a simple device. They're all going to be adorned with these very elaborate names.
Like, for example, instead of saying a computer, you might say that it is a manipulator of random information,
right,
or something like that.
Yeah, it's you know, it's some variation on the difference engine, because they're
sure.
Actually, that's a
sure.
good example to say. If you've ever seen a picture of the replica of Babbage's difference engine,
yeah,
people have actually built the difference engine.
Mm-hmm.
It's this massive device made out of brass and other metals, and you see all these gears and things that you turn, and
yeah,
that's how you work this difference engine. That speaks a lot to the aesthetics of that Victorian era, where you've got, you know, it doesn't need to look sleek. It can look complicated and even bulky, but it's done in such a way that it's emphasizing the aesthetic, not, you know, it's not, it doesn't look like a big clunky piece of equipment, ideally, unless that was, of course, the intent from the get-go. But yeah, if you look up these devices, you'll often come across names that are just, you know, really tongue twisters, and you know, there's usually an ether thrown in there somewhere. Like it uses the ether, this nebulous source of energy.
One really cool thing about steampunk, and it could be frustrating for somebody who's getting into it, who may need a little bit more structure, is that unlike other hobbyists and cosplayers and you know, groups of that style, you don't have like a Star Trek universe or a Star Wars universe or a Lord of the Rings. You don't have something that tells you what is and what isn't steampunk. So, for example, you have somebody who dresses in Victorian garb, and they are speaking, you know, English with the verbal expressions that they might use,
yes,
in
the
1880s.
The vernacular of the time.
Yes, the vernacular of the time. However, they might have a computer with brass fittings and ornamentation on the front. Or they might carry ray guns of the Buck Rogers, talking like old style Buck Rogers, you know, with the big bulgy stuff and the big knob on the on the shooting end.
Yeah.
Anything could be steampunk, because you're not having to go, well, that's canon or that's not canon. So it could be kind of anything you want it to be.
Yeah. If you look at you know, Weta.
Kinda.
You know, Weta Industries. Weta,
yes.
the effects company that
science
did
science fiction effects.
Yeah,
and stuff.
They did a lot of the props for the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yes.
They have a division called Dr. Grordbort's, and it's Dr. Grordbort's ray guns, essentially.
Yes.
And these are
expensive ray guns.
Yes. Yes. Beautiful devices.
Oh, yes.
But these are all designed after that old science fiction aesthetic, which definitely is related to steampunk, but is not necessarily.
It is and isn't steampunk.
Yeah, because some of the, ideally the steampunk type stuff should look like it's technology that runs on Victorian era resources.
Right.
Thus the steam.
Right.
The steam power being far more common than other forms.
Chris and I have more to say about steampunk, but first let's take a quick break.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit nfl.com/schedule-release to learn more.
Now, there are other forms of this punk aesthetic, too. There's diesel punk.
Yeah, I was going to mention that you had done something on that.
Yeah, diesel punk is a slightly later era. It's usually like World War I era technology aesthetic. So the aesthetic is different. The, you know, and you would argue that the whatever's running the technology is a different source of energy, but it's the same sort of idea, that you're taking this aesthetic from a different time period and applying it to modern day clothing, electronics, all sorts of stuff. I have an example that I wanted to mention, something that I thought was really clever in the sense that a lot of the steampunk projects you'll see are not just beautiful, but are also equally impractical.
Yeah.
But they're impractical on purpose. They're not, you know, it's practicality was not part of the design element. So one of those is what it's a project that was created by John Knight, as in let's get up on a horse and have a squire knight. He created something that he calls the electromagnetic geospatial globe and remote view with obligatory goggles.
See?
The goggles have to be in there. But this is his version of Google Earth. And what it is, what he can do is he runs Google Earth on a computer, and this globe, this, it looks like a big brass globe, is hooked up to the computer. So as he moves a little indicator on the physical globe, the virtual globe on Google Earth will turn and show whatever point is in focus on his indicator on the screen. So in other words, it's a way to navigate Google Earth using a physical globe.
Yeah.
And it's kind of an interesting approach. It, again, not necessarily practical, but definitely very visually arresting, very pretty. There are a lot of really well-known artists within the steampunk world. Two of them I wanted to mention in particular, although there are lots and lots of them. Don't think that, you know, these are like the end-all be-all, but one of them in particular is known for his work as sort of a pioneer in the steampunk physical, let's make stuff space.
Yeah.
And that's Jake Von Slatt.
Yes.
Jake Von Slatt has done lots and lots and lots of projects where he's taken either modern day technology and put new stuff on it to make it have a steampunk sort of aesthetic, or has actually built steampunk style devices from the ground up that do something that a modern device could do in a totally different way. So he's taking both approaches, where he's altering something that exists now or building based upon the old methods of building.
Right. He was featured in Make Magazine, actually, a couple years ago.
And I have an article on the site, How Steampunk Works, and I have some of his work on there as well. He has a website called the Steampunk Workshop.
Yes.
Where he actually shows you, if you want to build your own steampunk devices, he has do-it-yourself guides
on how to do them. Now, for people who want to get into this, you have to be really comfortable with using things that allow you to work with metals. Like soldering is really important. You might need access to special tools to be able to work metals in a way so that you can shape them and not just metals, but wood as well, you know, all sorts of materials. So it's for someone who has like a workshop space that has the ability to use or the access to use these sort of tools. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily something that you can do just, you know, go home and fire up the website and, oh, well, cool, I'm going to make my own steampunk laptop now. Because a lot of this involves finding things in curiosity shops or antiques shops or even like, you know, there used to be a shop near where I live that sells all sorts of old cabinet fittings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you could go to a place like that and sort through it and say, oh, this has the look that I'm going for. And you take that and you might repurpose it for something totally different. Like instead of this being a cabinet handle, it's going to be the top left corner of a computer display.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Well, you have to be able to, you know, manipulate that metal in whatever way. You may have to trim stuff off or reshape something. So you may need some special tools for a lot of these DIY projects. But he actually goes through what he does to build out these things. And another pretty well-known artist. In fact, I remember seeing some of his work in the sci-fi series Warehouse 13.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Warehouse 13, you know, you've got these interesting pieces of technology that are inside Artie's office, where he's got like a computer that has these old typewriter keys instead of regular keys. Those were built by a guy named Richard Doc Nagy, also known as Datamancer.
I am.
And Datamancer has done some really amazing work with custom keyboards, laptops, desktop computers. He's really created some neat stuff. And not just in the steampunk aesthetic. He's also branched out. He did some in a sort of an Art Deco-inspired approach as well. So he's tried a couple of different things. He takes commissions, and his work is really, really labor-intensive. So they are expensive things to buy.
Oh, yes.
But on the other hand, these are devices that are made by hand from materials that are more expensive than plastic. So the expense is in not just the labor, but also the artistry that goes into it. So, you know, you might sit there and think, oh my gosh, that's a $1,200 keyboard. I can't spend $1,200 buying a keyboard for my computer. But then you think, all right, when you factor in the materials that went into it, how much time was spent for him to track down all the different stuff that he used to make it, and also just the hours of work that he puts into it, then you start figuring, okay, now it's a work of art that I'm buying, not just a functional piece of technology.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, there are people who actually make their living modifying people's living spaces.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Modern Victorian, which is at modvic.com, and they basically remake people's homes into steampunk-like environments. You know, wood-burning stoves and, you know, portholes and things that you might see out of the Nautilus.
Big gears that you would turn in order to open a door instead of a regular doorknob.
Yes, yes. I mean, just that kind of thing. And if you've got either the ability to do it yourself or the wherewithal to pay someone who knows what they're doing, you can do that too. But just the creativity that's involved in doing that, and even something as simple as, you know, the keyboards that you see with the typewriter keys instead of computer keys. It's just kind of fascinating. I saw one computer desk that had pipes behind it, or, you know, at the back, where it made it look sort of as the as though the computer were sitting in as part of a pipe organ. And it was just kind of cool, the idea behind that.
We haven't run out of steam yet. See what I did there? But before we get back into the discussion, let's take another quick break.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Working remotely? Where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI. And Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The wait is almost over.
Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it! Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
There's no large company that I can think of that makes this stuff in amounts that would make it cheap for the average person to own one of these. You know, this is all done by hand, but you know, you can also say, you know, it's done custom work. Not everybody is going to own something like this.
Yeah. There are a lot of one of a kind pieces out there.
Yeah, and it's also an opportunity for you know, the casual hacker to maybe try his or her hand at something like this.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
You know, there are plans and things like this, and not all the projects are super complex.
And that's sort of, again, that's the whole point that that was made about the appeal of steampunk in the first place, is that you are creating something that's much more personal to you. You know, it's not this mass-produced piece of technology that looks exactly like every single other version of that particular device.
Right.
Right? Like, every iPhone 4 looks like every other iPhone 4 until you put like a skin on it or put a case around it or whatever. But, you know, on its own, they all look the same. And it's this approach to mass manufacture that has created sort of a homogenized approach to technology. And this is kind of a rejection of that, saying, I want something that has more personality to it. It's just that this is a personality that evokes a very specific feel and era. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting because every year that passes, I think, okay, steampunk has got to, like, that fad has got to be on the decline by now, because there are artists who get into it and they're really, really active in it for a couple of years. And then some of them are saying, you know, I really want to do other stuff. I had fun with that. It was great.
Yeah.
But as an artist, I want to grow. So I want to try different things. So I often expect to see that kind of trickle down to the general steampunk niche.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to say general public, but really steampunk is a very specific niche of people. But so far that hasn't really happened. We'll have to keep our eyes open, because I mean, I find it a very compelling aesthetic myself. I really do like the look of it, and it does have an interesting impact on me emotionally when I see something that's been really well designed and a very clever design. Because well designed and clever, again, doesn't necessarily mean that the device is practical. Sometimes the more impractical it is, the more enjoyable it is.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I mean, it's a human thing, I think. And yeah, I am fascinated by alternate histories and anachronisms. You know, the what ifs, if you will.
Yeah.
And just to imagine the what if, you know, you have a steam powered world with the internet. You know, how could those things go together? You know, handwriting messages and sticking them in pneumatic tubes.
Right, right. Yep. Yep. My dad started writing a science fiction novel that was based in a steampunk type world. And sadly, it was one of those projects that they never completed.
Yeah.
But it was funny because when he was writing it, it was before steampunk had really become a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there were some examples, early examples in the genre. And I think had he completed it, it would have been one of the, it certainly would have been an interesting addition to the library of literature that supports this genre. Of course, we'll never know. Because it's, I mean, maybe one day he'll go back and finish it, but by then it's going to seem like he's, you know, following a trend as opposed to being on the forefront of it.
At least it's not another vampire book.
You know, it's funny you mention. It's the steam-powered vampires that sparkle. No, not at all. Not even a little. It's a steam-powered vampire that sparkles in the daylight, but he gets invited to go to a wizard college. No, none
with
of
werewolves.
That's true. With werewolves. Right. I wonder how many more I can fit in there. There's a Chicago detective who's also a magician who shows up. No, none of this is true.
And there's a good cop and a bad cop.
Right. And And that concludes another classic episode of Tech Stuff. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Obviously, since 2012, there's been a lot more stuff in the steampunk world, although you could argue it has been losing steam as of late. I don't see quite as much in popular fiction that falls into that category as I used to. I still see it now and then, just not everywhere. But if you guys have any suggestions for future topics, whether they involve speculative fiction or not, feel free to send them to me. The email address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com or pop on over to our website. That's techstuffpodcast.com. There you will find links to our social media sites so you can contact me that way. Or, pop on over to our online store. There's a link there over at techstuffpodcast.com. And every purchase you make at that store goes to help the show. You can get Tech Stuff logo t-shirts or coffee mugs or mouse pads or all sorts of stuff. And we have some fun designs over there. So go check that out. And I will talk to you again really soon. Tech Stuff is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit nfl.com/schedule-release to learn more.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.